From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch inviting you to stay with us for the next half hour for a message from God's Holy Word, some Christ-honoring sacred music, and the hot topic of the day. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series on the life of Christ with another portion of a message called Christ Beloved by God, but Blasphemed by Men. In Matthew 12, the Lord Jesus Christ had incurred the hatred of the Pharisees because he healed on the Sabbath day. That hatred has not changed. Yet we also see that God the Father loved his Son and chose him to be the Redeemer of his people. First, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, America and Britain Help Sodomites Gain UN Recognition.
The United Nations has a body called the UN Economic and Social Council, ECOSOC for short, that accredits NGOs, or non-governmental organizations. ECOSOC met in Geneva in July to consider applications from the Gay and Lesbian Coalition of Quebec and from the Swedish Federation of Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Rights to be granted official consultative status. Last January, ECOSOC's 19-member NGO accrediting subcommittee considered the same applications and, on a thorough examination of the evidence, decided to reject the Quebec application and defer the Swedish one. On that occasion, the United Kingdom representative charged that the rejection was, quotes, straightforward discrimination. So the matter came before the full ECOSOC Council in July. This time, both applications were accepted, with 22 countries voting in favour, 13 against, and 13 abstaining. Members voting in favour included the United States and the United Kingdom. Apparently, the vote was a sham. The whole voting process was confused because of unclear language. Several delegates interrupted the roll call vote to ask for clarification, but were ignored. Pakistan thus raised a point of order and called for a revote. It also was ignored. One lawyer who was present commented, "Increasingly, in the past several months, at meetings such as the CSW, that's the Commission on the Status of Women, the Human Rights Council, and now the ECOSOC Council, there have been serious issues regarding transparency in the voting process. After witnessing several of these types of incidents, one has to wonder whether voting at the UN really matters, or if the result is preordained." Close the quote. All this may seem far removed from you and me. It would be a grave mistake to think so. Recognition by ECOSOC gives an organization a powerful propaganda platform. The executive director of the Quebec applicants immediately made that clear. He told the press that his group now plans to use the UN as a platform for spreading, quote, homosexual rights to the countries that voted against it. It's disgusting that the United States and the United Kingdom should be in the vanguard of the movement to foist the sodomite agenda on the world. So degenerate has the United Nations become, and so allied to its evil social policies are America and Britain, that they have accepted applications from many of the branches of the International Gay and Lesbian Association, which had lost its UN recognition because of its known ties to paedophilia. So with American and British connivance, even organizations that are known to promote pedophilia are granted a UN platform to spread their vile perversion throughout the world. Now, this is sick. It's worse than sick. It's satanic. It's not right that in our name, unknown delegates should be allowed to cast such votes. For not only are they voting for the spread of sodomy, they're assuring the destruction of the nation. When people accept the practice of sodomy, no matter what the UN may say, God says that he will give them up to their uncleanness, their vile affections, and their reprobate mind. All indications of his righteous judgment on those who know the truth, but believe and live the devil's lie.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
When I look at this passage, I find a tremendous contrast. Notice what we read. Verse 18, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved." Now contrast that with the words of verse 24, "This fellow doth not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." That contrast is stark. Christ is beloved by God, but blasphemed by men. And as I thought of that, I realized that despite the fact that men hate him, Christ is the beloved of God. There's a lot of things I would like to take time to talk about there that I don't have the time. One thing that before we go any further, I would like you just to take on board, because this is a thing that very few people ever stop to appreciate. And that's the close connection between God's love and God's election. He says, "This is my servant whom I have chosen." The passage that he quotes from Isaiah 42 actually calls him "mine elect." Matthew says he's "my beloved." And that connection between beloved and chosen is all important. God loved him, and therefore he chose him for this office. The same thing is true when you're dealing with the people of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, you find this emphasis but on God's people being the objects of divine love and therefore the objects of divine choice. Some people, and this is a big, big subject that I really will not try to get into, but some people misrepresent the teaching of God's word on the decree of election as if it were some decree from a God of small mind, small heart, a God who's acting out of bitterness and anger and hatred. This is the lie of the devil. The very opposite is the case. The decree of God's election is the greatest possible proof that sinners can have that God has a heart of love. He loves and therefore he chooses. Why he loves, I cannot explain. I've often given you the example that Willie Mullen, the great Baptist preacher, gave years ago. He was not the first to be asked a question and answer it in the same way by any means. He just happened to be the preacher that I, as a young man, heard say. He was asked this: "Mr. Mullen, could you possibly explain to me the words of Romans chapter 9, where God says, 'Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated.'" Willie Mullen looked at the young fellow and said, "I'm sorry, I can't explain that. That puzzles me too." And the young fellow brightened up. It's always happy for a young fellow to realize, if I don't know it, I'm at least not as stupid as I thought when I find a great preacher doesn't know it. And Willie Mullen was certainly a great preacher. He said, "Well, I'm glad you don't understand it. It just puzzles me how God could hate Esau." Willie looked at him and said, "Son, that doesn't puzzle me in the slightest little bit. What I don't understand is how God could ever love Jacob. That God would hate a sinner like me and damn me to the deepest hell, I have no difficulty understanding. But that a holy God would love this..." Willie used to like to talk of himself as a vile reptile of a sinner. "That God could ever love this vile reptile of a sinner is more than I can ever understand. He loves therefore he chooses. And certainly that was the case with the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, I have now got to the place that I should have got to a long time ago, to what really is the message for today, without going up all the side alleys. Despite the hatred of men, Christ is beloved of God in three ways, and I'll only mention them. First, as the servant of God. I like this. Behold my servant. This is the Son of God in his humiliation. This is him having laid aside the resplendent robes of glory. This is him having laid aside his eternal invisibility. This is the Son of God come in the flesh in humiliation, in form and fashion of a man. Man despised him in that state. The Jews rejected him in that state. They wanted a Messiah, but they wanted a Messiah of a different kind. They wanted a soldier. They wanted a statesman. They wanted somebody who would get out into the streets, who would raise the people in the streets. They have no time for this one who would come and would not raise his voice in the streets, who would not raise the rabble, who would not lead a revolution, but who came to be a redeemer. They rejected such a one, despised him. But then the Father loved him and delighted in him, and he particularly delighted in his obedience even unto death. We have often read those words of Philippians 2, which speak of the mind of Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, etc. But right down, there are steps, 7 steps right down to the depths of Christ's humiliation. And then there are 7 steps up in his exaltation. But notice what verse 9 says. Having plumbed the depths of his humiliation, wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Why did God exalt him? Because he was delighted with his humiliation. He was delighted with his service of obedience unto death. It's a huge subject, Christ the faithful servant. I will not try to pursue it this morning, but for that God loved him. Second, God loved him as the Savior of sinners. He anointed him with the Spirit of God. I will put my Spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. The Father endowed him with all necessary gifts and all the graces of the Holy Ghost for his work. As we read, he gave the Spirit without measure unto him. And he sent him to declare judgment. It's a huge term. Most modern translations, or many of them, say it means justice. There are a couple of texts where that would seem to be the force of the word. Some other people say it means he declared himself to be the judge and the mediatorial king. I suppose I can see that too. But you know, when the Lord Jesus declared judgment, for example in John 12, when he declared, now is the judgment of this world, that's what he came to declare. The judgment. And it was God's verdict on man's sin. He came to speak of what God was going to do with sin. Ah, but here's the beauty of it. He came to show what God would do with sin by letting it be seen first in himself. And I believe when he came declaring judgment, he came declaring, for example, the message that he gave to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. He says, indeed, here is God's judgment on sin. But ere it reaches the sinner, it reaches me, the Savior. My, what a glorious thing that in announcing judgment, he announced the grace of salvation. God loved him as the Savior of sinners. And what a Savior. God sent him to the weak and the weary, the bruised and the broken. It says the bruised reed he'll not break, the smoking flax he will not quench. The Lord loved his Son not only as the servant of God, but as the Savior of sinners, as the expression of God's patience and kindness and mercy to the weakest and even to the most obnoxious. We see it in the case of the man with the withered hand. The religious leaders thought nothing of leaving him like that. We see it in the case of the blind and dumb man possessed with the devil. Here's the awful thing. The Pharisees were quite happy to leave that man like that, so long as they could hold on to their own dirty little bunch of prejudices. They just leave him like that. Consign him to oblivion, even to hell. Let him go to hell. Just leave us in our own rotten little prejudices. But not so Christ. Not so the Son of God. I can't think of anything in the Bible that more tells me of the tender compassion of the Lord Jesus.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So, visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.